You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, and frankly, I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm eating a sandwich. Like, it was just a good night for Laker fans everywhere. Harrison, how are you going to bring us down tonight?
I could start talking about my personal life, but I think we'll just stick to the game tonight.
Yeah, let's do that. The Lakers beat the 76ers by a total of 107 to 104 on the back of Brandon Ingram's three-point shot with 0.8 seconds left to go, and sent all of those losers in Philadelphia packing as they booed Lonzo Ball throughout the game. Like, it takes a lot of energy to boo a player from start to finish of a game, and kudos to Philadelphia for doing so, but
it really made a difference in the game tonight because they won. You know, they got in Ball's head, and it worked.
That's a
wait.
Bunch
oh,
of...
wait. No, it didn't at all.
So they just wasted a lot of time. It's just a ton of wasted energy. Like, that is just it, every time he got the ball, they decided, all right, we're gonna boo now and up. Yeah, that didn't.
I just don't understand why people would think. Like, I get why they boo Lonzo Ball, but I also don't get it because it's very clear that he doesn't really care about anything.
All right. So let's hold off. Let's put a pin on that right now. Basically, tonight's show, we are going to talk a little bit about the game, and then we are going to jump into full Brandon Ingram is the greatest of all time mode in the second and third parts of the show. So, as always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. All right, so I don't understand it. Like, I want... Explain it to me, Harrison. How does it make sense at all that Philly fans were booing Lonzo Ball? Because I saw a tweet earlier during the game saying that, like, if you don't get why Philly fans are booing Lonzo Ball, then you don't understand the city. Like, is the city just full of jackasses? Is that the explanation?
Is that not the Philadelphia stereotype?
I mean, I guess they booed Santa Claus, so, like, sure, you can do your thing there, but it makes no sense to me. Like, is it a product of the frustration that comes from your own number one pick point guard hurting his shoulder, relearning how to shoot a basketball? Like, is that where it's coming from? Is it coming from a place where, like, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are the talks of the NBA, and yet your team is still 13-11, a very pedestrian 13-11? Like, I don't quite grasp where that would come from. And look, going to sound like I'm standing for the kid. I just feel bad for him. Like, I'm sorry I was drafted number two overall by the Lakers, and I'm sorry my dad is a loud-ass, obnoxious MF-er. But booing him every time he touches the ball, usually for me, is reserved for really good players who say something in slight of a city, and that hasn't taken place on either front.
Well, so I think this actually traces back to the Revolutionary War and the personality that Philadelphia developed as a city during that occupation. I think they're clearly rebels, and they think that they need to make themselves heard. And tonight the Lakers came in and occupied their building, and they had to let them know. But in all seriousness, I think
the Lakers cracked their ego like the Liberty Bell. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. I mean, you mentioned most of the time it's reserved for a player that says something like something that they don't like. Now, I'm not 100% sure that everybody in Philadelphia knows how to read, but so I can't, like, verify that this is true, but that, like, this is the reason for this. But this morning, Lonzo Ball did say that he didn't really ever even think about being drafted by Philadelphia.
Oh.
And – So yeah,
that did might that go. Did that? I didn't see it going viral in Philadelphia. Was that like a thing? Like did that become a thing that I missed?
I mean, it was a thing that I noticed, but I don't know if that means that it's a thing that everyone noticed. But I mean, maybe. But again, like I can't speak to the like literacy of the Philadelphia population.
Yeah, I mean, my retort to Philly fans who drew offense from that would be, wait, West Coast kid says he wanted to be a Laker all along. Like, shouldn't really be breaking news, right? Like that shouldn't actually catch anybody off guard, and yet it does because Philly fans just walk around with their. I'm not going to finish that sentence. So. I want to quickly talk about the game as a whole. We have about a minute or so before we move on and really jump into the Brandon Ingram stuff. But I really thought Lonzo tonight just kind of was a really good floor general and managed the game and didn't mess anything up. He took that one questionable shot that Luke complimented him on late in the game. But other than that, I thought this was the prototypical Lonzo Ball game that we've seen so far, where he doesn't blow any one stat away, but he does help all across the court.
Hashtag Lonzo effect.
Yes, one sure.
Just to irritate Philadelphia even more.
And, well, all of NBA Twitter, really.
Yeah. Well, and then also I made fun of whether or not they could read. So yeah I might have some angry Philadelphians in my mentions tomorrow. But
if you're listening to this show in Philadelphia, he is at HMFAIGEN.
No way they can type that out. That's way too long.
Yeah, there's no numbers or pictures. We're good to go. Let's. I want to talk. Let's just dive into the Brandon Ingram stuff here in a second. He was really good. He hit what wound up being the game winning shot. And continues a stellar second season thus far. We are going to talk about that and all of the stuff that surrounds Lakers wins here in a second. So, all right, before we move into the Brandon Ingram stuff, I got to get this off my chest. I tweeted about it while the Lakers were playing, but every time the Lakers and by extension Lonzo or Lonzo and by extension the Lakers are playing well, for whatever reason, a rather large faction of NBA Twitter, hashtag NBA Twitter, tends to go kind of silent. And Harrison, what do you think is going on there?
Well, I think that there's a cottage industry of people who like to criticize Lonzo Ball because it's a pushback against people who are like Magic Johnson and like the Lakers and LeVar, who are saying he's the greatest thing since sliced bread and actually might even be better than sliced bread. And so I think that there are a lot of people that are almost in a rush to push back on that. And then it's easy to get engagement when you're trashing Lonzo Ball. Because Laker fans are going to want to mess with you, and then like other general NBA fans are going to be like, oh yeah, I looked at like three of his box scores once and he sucks. Like I saw he was shooting 39%. Like, you know, I think that's probably a big part of it.
I think it's both of those things. Like the clicks factor can't be ignored, right?
That every I don't even time... mean just the clicks factor. Just engagement overall, like getting retweets, shares, like quotes, whatever.
Well, like, I mean, for both of us, because both you and I are both follow snobs, right? You even more than I am, I think. I think you follow fewer people than I do.
It's possible.
And with you and I being follow snobs, the people that we follow generally have a platform by which to throw whatever angle they want to throw out there, right? And look, at this point, most of the people that we follow have their product, their content monetized. And just like back when Kobe was playing, we used to see a legitimate bump in clicks every time Kobe was mentioned. That's where it is right now with Lonzo Ball. Like at this point, if you could write about Jordan Clarkson's ability to close basketball games, and if you frame that not by, wow, Jordan Clarkson is playing really well down the stretch of fourth quarters, and instead say, wow, Jordan Clarkson has been better in the fourth quarter than Lonzo Ball, well, then now all of a sudden that article that you just wrote is going to get a ton more engagement, right? If you fire off a tweet and say, I just saw this the other day. Somebody wrote for, I forget who it was, but somebody basically wrote, wow, look at how good LiAngelo Ball is, or LaMelo Ball is off of the dribble. They're so much better than Lonzo Ball. And the only reason they brought Lonzo into that equation is to get the engagement that comes from crapping on Lonzo. And it's funny, and at this point, it's a little frustrating for me and Laker fans out there across all of Lakers Twitter. It's kind of frustrating when the people who will go out of their way to crap on a good Lonzo Ball game will go also just as far out of their way to not comment on Lonzo or the Lakers being good. And like, all I ask is just to be fair. Like, just if you're gonna go out of your way to shit on Lonzo, well then maybe make anything close to an effort to say, well, you know, he was pretty good tonight. Or, wow, that was an impressive road win by the Lakers to beat Philly in Philly while on this bit of a rut that the Lakers currently are. And yet, you didn't see it. You didn't see any of it. For some reason, NBA Twitter picked up as soon as that game ended after the Lakers won, and it went back to the Donovan Mitchell circle jerk that we've seen over the last couple weeks.
I think part of that has to do with like, just, I mean, when we're talking about, like, it would be very easy if you wanted to get traffic. This is a little pro tip for all of you guys, all of you aspiring young bloggers out there, to write an article that just said, like, here, like, top 10 reasons why Lonzo Ball was trash tonight, or like, you know, here are the 10 Holloway's triple doubles Lonzo's put up in his NBA career. And like, you can get a lot of clicks on that because Laker fans are going to anger click it, and other fans are going to, like, I don't know, what's the opposite of it? Like, happy click it.
It's like Schadenfreude, whatever that term is. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and that stuff sells. And there are a lot of people that are rooting for Lonzo Ball to fail because he's a Laker and because he's so heavily hyped. And so I don't think that you're going to see this trend changing anytime soon.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to continue to point it out whenever it pops up because I think it's intellectually dishonest on the part of a lot of people that I legitimately respect in their analysis across the league. I think it's kind of gross the way people have tried to profit off of Lonzo in his rookie season with everything going on in his life. Like, I don't think...
Dude, don't talk about LeVar like that.
Well, no, I mean, it can't be easy for Lonzo... It can't be easy for Lonzo to watch his dad feud with the president of the actual United States of America.
Oh, actually, I heavily disagree there. I think it's been very easy for him to watch that. I don't think he cares, like, at all.
I don't know, man.
I really don't.
I think it's easy for you to.
He's seen his dad doing this all his life. Maybe it hasn't been with the president of the United States. Actually, we know it definitely hasn't been with the president of the United States. But he did it in high school with his high school coach,
Harrison,
and he's done it.
Harrison, I'm telling you right now, check the mentions or look at the replies, whether it's CNN or especially if it's like Fox News, look at the replies of the things that people are saying I've seen legitimate death threats. I've seen all kinds of gross stuff fired at LeVar. Fired at LeVar Ball. I don't think it's easy for any kid to see that go on with their dad. No matter how cool, calm, and collected Lonzo is, I don't think there's any scenario where you see some of the things said towards or some of the criticism launched towards LeVar Ball and as his oldest son say, oh, no, it's just my dad being my dad.
I mean, to be honest, I don't know that he sees it.
I mean, maybe that's...
And
that's,
I don't... And even if he did, I have a hard time believing that he would care all that much.
I don't know. But regardless, whether it's stuff aimed at his dad, aimed at him, aimed at the Lakers, whatever it is, and Luke said it the other day, Lonzo deserves a ton of credit for taking all this stuff in stride and continuing to focus on basketball first, right? Like, I don't know very many people who would be able to take the stuff as gracefully as Lonzo has. And look, tonight he goes into Philadelphia and gets booed from start to finish every single time he touches the ball and scores. 10 points is pretty pedestrian, but he drops 8 assists, 6 rebounds, or 8 rebounds. So 8 assists, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks. He was a plus 7 on the game, no turnovers. And again, the kid deserves a ton of credit for the way he's handled this. The other kid who deserves a ton of credit for the way he's played this year, and the guy that we wanted to make this podcast about is Brandon Ingram. So we are going to get into his game, which featured that game-winning shot, here in a second. So Brandon Ingram, huh? Like, how about this guy? I mean, can you believe people were out there, like, just hoping to see an NBA skill from him heading into this year? Can you believe that was a thing people were saying?
Yeah, don't check my lead for the Brandon Ingram post that I wrote tonight, because it's basically just a subtweet at you, and I would apologize for that, but I also don't feel bad, because you keep lying to people about where I am when I miss podcasts, and... you have started trends of roasting me on Twitter, and so I really don't feel that bad about subtweeting you on this, because you were so very gloriously and hilariously wrong about it. Amazing. And Brandon Ingram has been amazing this season and is having a break, not only just like a breakout year, but it's crazy that he's not getting more attention for it. It seems like he's having like the quietest breakout year I've ever seen.
So over the last 10 games, he is averaging 17.8 points a game, basically a steal, a block, 3.5 assists, 6 rebounds on 48% field goal percentage shooting. That's
not only that, but not over just the last 10 games, but for the season, he's shooting 60.1% in the restricted area, and he's taken 153 of his 317 shots there. Like, that's crazy efficiency for the volume, especially when you're taking into account that he doesn't really shoot threes very well, and he also just doesn't really shoot threes other than his game. You know, when Brandon was like, when I hit three, I don't always hit threes, but when I do, they're game winners. And you know, he balled out tonight against the Sixers, and he deserves credit for that. And he deserves credit for really finding, like, kind of his niche on the Lakers and finding the best way for himself to have success. And the Lakers coaching staff deserves credit for changing the way that they've approached his game and not just pounding the ball to him anymore. And since then, he's been a force to be reckoned with, and it's been really cool to watch.
He's averaging on the season right now, in 34 minutes, he's shooting 46% from the field, 30% from three, which is whatever, 68% from three, which is higher than last season, and should probably continue to improve. 5.5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block per game, which that block per game at the very end there, to me, it's the kind of thing that, again, perfectly sums up the Brandon Ingram experience to this point, in that he does stuff all over the court. So even if you were a casual fan, or if you were just watching tonight's game and just watching the trends from a bird's eye view and not focusing on any single player, Ingram would jump off the page at you for what he's doing on the offensive side of things, because that's where people tend to pay more attention. But what he was doing on the defensive end, where he is bodying up Ben Simmons in the post and not giving an inch there, or utilizing his length to habitually close down passing lanes all over the court. Like, those are things that aren't going to show up in the box score necessarily unless he actually does touch the ball. But those are just ways that he's making winning plays to help the Lakers come out on top on a night like last night. And again, he just... Jen noticed this after he hit the game winner, right? He sinks the game winner, and it was bottom as soon as he released it. And he just walks back towards the bench as if nothing happened.
Yep, I noticed that too.
It was insane. And, he's a serial killer.
And like in his post-game interview, he just talked about that he feels like he's the Lakers closer now. And he wasn't boastful about it. He was monotone. And that's just the way he feels. And it's like it's just crazy how confident he seems right now. Although, like, I don't want to give him too much credit for being confident, as actually Jordan Clarkson astutely pointed out after the game, that we should, you know, we shouldn't be giving Ingram too much credit for confidence on that shot, because he did shoot it with 0.8 left, so he kind of had to shoot it. And in the words of Jordan Clarkson, quote, am I allowed to curse?
Yeah, go for it.
That motherfucker was wide open. He better shoot that motherfucker. If you ain't shoot that, I might have slapped them words right off your motherfucking head.
And again, Harrison is quoting Jordan Clarkson, so it's not us.
Direct quote via Serena Winters of Lakers Nation, and like that is amazing.
This is turning into, so a lot of the comparisons heading into the season were made between this team and that like mid to late 90s team before Kobe and Shaq showed up with Nick Van Exel and Eddie Jones and Zdale Threet and Heldon Campbell and Vlade Divac. Like those, this team is starting to resemble that team. They aren't quite as good. That team was that was a legitimate playoff team before those two guys showed up, and a lot of the guys got shipped off for Glenn Rice and whatever may have you. But this team is becoming that type of likable, in which, look, Laker fans, I feel myself rallying around these guys and defending these guys in ways that I haven't really found myself defending the last 5 years or so, right? Like, I'll still make the occasional Lonzo Ball joke, and I'll still make the occasional Jordan Clarkson only has a shoot button on his PlayStation joke. But for the most part, if I see unfair criticism or undue respect not being sent the Lakers' way, then I'll start to fight for him, and it's kind of a cool feeling to be able to say that for the first time in going on half a decade now.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
I mean, I don't know what else to really add there. It's like, I mean, Ingram has just been incredible this season, and all of these young guys are breaking out. And we were talking before the show about how, like, this is the kind of game that I think people are going to, like, look back on and remember as, like, oh, yeah, like, the Lakers' young core was really starting to gel together.
I think that's an interesting conversation in whether or not this is what people will look back on, or if it'll be more of a cumulative effect on especially Brandon Ingram's career, right? Because, like, to me, there have been multiple moments over the course of this season where I look at what he's done and I say, you know what? It looks like he's figuring it out. It looks like he's doing this. It looks like he's doing that. Wow, I don't think he's going to get any better this season. Holy cow, he did whatever he did to the Warriors. Wow, when he played against Philly in LA, he really rose to the challenge against Ben Simmons. Holy crap, he replicated that and raised it a game winner in Philadelphia. Like, I want to agree with you and say that tonight is that night that people might look back on. But I think the other side of this coin is, no, this kid has been legit all season and people aren't quite realizing for a variety of reasons. Why do you think those reasons might exist? Like, what would you point at if you were to wonder why Brandon Ingram hasn't been more talked about this season?
It's easy. It's because of Lonzo Ball. It's because people are so focused on him and his shooting struggles and his dad and the president and Byron. Oh, man.
Yes. Watch out for a fine tweet, everybody. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, fine. People are so worried about all of that stuff that they just aren't paying attention to the actual basketball, even really Lonzo Ball's actual basketball, but much less the rest of the Lakers team. And then I think there's also a certain amount of apathy because so many people are just assuming all these guys are going to be gone because the Lakers are going to bring in some free agents.
That's a good point. No, that's an interesting point. No, and apathy also because Ingram isn't new, right? Like, he's been better than Kyle Kuzma this year. And yet people are looking at Kuzma as if he's this incredible.
Kuzma's the shiny new toy.
Right, he is. But Ingram is, I think, a year younger still, right? Maybe even
yeah,
two.
Yeah, Ingram's, I think, 2 years younger.
Yeah, he's 2 years younger than Kuzma. And to me, the better basketball player than Kuzma. Everything, and that's not me disparaging Kuzma. I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Kuzma play this year. And actually, tonight was a cool example of Kuzma not jumping off of the screen at you, not because his game fell back to the mean, but more because guys around him played up to a level that is capable of beating an Eastern Conference playoff team, right? And so, like, I think it's a fun dynamic watching these two guys on the wing positions find themselves in the NBA, especially Ingram, somebody who, myself included, kind of sort of cast out on.
I think you wrote him off for dead and held a funeral.
I 100%. And look.
Apologize. Tweet at Brandon Ingram at B_Ingram13. I'm sorry.
What's funny is that Russell has me blocked. Ingram doesn't. That's funny. No, think about it. That's a funny dynamic between those two things. All right, so anything else that you wanted to add to this game before we head into the weekend?
No, I don't. Nothing really particularly about this game. I mean, I wrote about Ingram tonight, so I guess keep an eye on that when you're looking for stuff to read tomorrow. But other than that, I mean, I think the Lakers just continue to show that they're making progress this year, and it's not going to result in a playoff spot. It's not going to result in a title. It may not even result in really anything meaningful if they ship like half these guys off and like sign LeBron and stuff. But if this does continue to be the youth movement, then these are the kind of nights that you have to enjoy as a fan and say, okay, like they're showing some promise tonight, and maybe, you know, Saturday they're going to completely crap the bed. But that's just what young teams do. And then you just got to change them and like get them back up and teach them how to walk again. And that's just how it goes.
I think another note, and I thought that was very well put, but I think another note needs to be sent towards Luke in recognizing that, hey, Larry Nance Jr. and Lonzo Ball down the stretch of games isn't necessarily the greatest thing. He brought Julius Randle back in. Randle played 29 minutes compared to Nance's 22. Kuzma's minutes were down tonight. He was kind of ineffective for stretches of the game. But really what it comes down to is the Lakers did what they had to do to win a tough road game. Because that Philly crowd was out for blood tonight. And really, like, all the shade that I've thrown towards Philly, that was a really good Philadelphia 76ers crowd. The Lakers come out on top, send us into the weekend the way that we really look to, with a 107-104 win over the Philadelphia 76ers. This was a really fun one. This was one of those wins that you really tuck away in your back pocket and let you just kind of roll with the next week or so of however the Lakers play. You can kind of look back on tonight's game and say, yeah, well, we still got that one. That's still a good one to have.
Yep.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. Make sure you guys are tuning in always on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Thank you to everybody who participated in this week's draft.com thing. Harrison, didn't you take this one down? You won this one.
Well, I actually, at the buzzer, came in second by 2 points.
Shoot. I definitely did not know that and didn't want to make sure you said that on the air. But congratulations to our winner this week.
Wow. Okay. Ouch. But nice. Well played.
Congratulations to our winner this week. Harrison still went home with $5, so that's good. Thanks to those who participated in that. If you are interested in participating in that, make sure you let us know before we set up these drafts every Wednesday. And we're going to do this every single Wednesday. Harrison's going to set that up and send out the link. If we get a big enough response, we'll continue to expand this draft. But if we don't fill up that draft, then nobody wins. The draft just kind of closes down, and and we get a giant like fart noise email from Daft Doc. It's just a sad situation. So shouts to whoever won this week. Harrison, congratulations on your second place visit. I crapped a bed this week. I actually slept through the draft. We'll talk to everybody again on Monday. I'm going to have a guest on Sunday that I'll be recording with, and we'll make fun of Harrison being at the day spa on Monday, because that's he really enjoys it when we do that. Are you still there, Harrison?
I hung up.
Have a great weekend, everybody.